this is not an issue that's going to go away, or these challenges we just highlighted are only a handful of some of them out there. And, you know, every single day we're trying to figure out more rocks that need to be, you know, broken up, or barriers that need to be removed to ensure process and efficiency is best in class.
Hey, gang. Welcome back to Future Proof. I am your host, Bill Sheridan. So riddle me this, Batman. What do you get when you cross exponential advances in technology with an unrelenting regulatory environment? Well, the answer, unfortunately, is no joke. What you get oftentimes is one big headache. These hard trends or future facts that futurist Dan Burris talks about, the things that we know will happen with absolute certainty, they're hard enough to come to grips with individually, but when they cross borders and join forces, well, that's when our lives really start to get complex. And there's another way of looking at it, though, and I'll get to that here in just a second. First, let me tell you that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you. That's you. By visiting blionline.org. So, yeah, technology. It's advancing exponentially. We know this. Moore's Law, which says the processing power of our computers doubles every 2 years or so. That's still a thing, and that's nothing, actually, compared to AI. I mentioned a couple shows ago that some researchers are saying AI capacity is doubling every 3 months or so. And regulators, they're scrambling to keep up with all these changes, too, and that's giving us plenty of compliance headaches to deal with. The other side of that coin, though, is all about opportunity. Technology and compliance can actually work hand in hand. This is from a recent report from Deloitte, and I'm quoting here. It reads, quote, regulatory and industry pressures, emerging technologies, and organizations' own challenges are placing greater demands on the compliance function. And with that, there is a growing expectation that the function should consider upgrading its capabilities to add greater value. In short, modernize using technology. By drawing on technology such as analytics, automation, artificial intelligence, and other cognitive technologies, compliance organizations can augment human insights and judgment to strengthen their efficiency and effectiveness. Quote, technology can help compliance organizations modernize their operations in many ways, as well as elevate their profile to become an even more valued business partner, says Mike Juergens, who is a principal at Deloitte Risk and Financial Advisory, and he's the leader also of that group's executive programs. And he goes on to say, quote, the potential for technology to help modernize compliance is significant, although many organizations still are at the foundational level, just beginning to evaluate processes and plan improvements, end quote. So this week, I wanted to explore that concept a little more deeply, and here to help me are Marshall Klippenstein and Jameson Hughes. Marshall is the director of the SAP Concur Value Consulting Organization, while Jameson is a value consultant at SAP Concur, helping organizations improve their financial outcomes through data analytics and deep dive management consulting. SAP Concur has been putting a lot of thought lately into the trends around global compliance with things like the European and Asian VAT or values added tax, and U.S. state and local tax issues that have arisen from the Supreme Court's 2018 Wayfair decision concerning sales tax on internet purchases. In fact, SAP Concur is planning to address these issues with the CFOs of large companies going forward, who definitely have a vested interest in these compliance issues. So without question, CFOs today, they've got to be proactive and look ahead to see these trends coming, and then enlist technology and technology partners to help them navigate all this craziness. So in turn, I've enlisted the help of Marshall and Jameson. to help us make a little more sense of the compliance environment today. Good stuff here from the folks at SAP Concur. Here are Marshall Klippenstein and Jameson Hughes. So Marshall, Jameson, thanks so much for joining me today. So I guess my first question is just kind of very general. What's happening today that makes this a conversation worth having? What's going on in the world today that makes us want to be talking about these things?
Yeah, Bill, there's a lot. I think we know that the business landscape is changing so much and everyone is tying to some sort of digital transformation effort, or they're working hard to, you know, figure out better ways to be more simplistic in their operations and their processes. Customers too are looking, the expectation of how one would operate today is so much higher too, right? So mm-hmm. you can't expect that the same process and the same systems and the same, the way things were always done is going to be the best way forward for how things should be done in the future. And we're at a point now where collaboration with the stakeholders, we talk to customers all the time where they're expected to know what the other parts of the business are doing and how they can contribute. I mean, it's just gotten far more complex than what we have seen in the past. And this isn't new to anybody either, right? I think we can all agree. But at the same time, every single person we talk to or we work with, or any of our roles even, we're expected to do more. And accelerated expectations are another challenge that we see all the time. So I think, you know, today's conversation is very much, you know, anchored in what has changed so much in business today.
Yeah, and what's going to continue to change too. I mean, my boss, Tom Hood, likes to say that, you know, he's referencing the pace of change when he says this, but he says, you know, that pace of change is never going to be as slow as it is today. It's just going to continue to get faster and faster and faster. And so this, you know, this type of fluidity and flexibility on our parts is going to be critical going forward.
Right. Well, and to that point too, some of the stuff, well, the change that we know is happening, everyone wants to have some sort of control over it. And then what we're talking about today around compliance and all of the factors there, not anyone has control over that. This is such a behemoth of a topic that the only thing we can do is continuously strive to improve on that. This isn't something that is there's an exact recipe of success, but to your point, as the rapid pace of change is going to, it's going to push us as fast as it's moving, right? And so we don't have control over that. We just have to respond.
As we talk about the pace of change, what are some of the areas or things that are changing, technologies or what have you? I've talked to a futurist who kind of paints this picture of hard trends, future facts, things that we know are going to continue to be issues for us going forward. And the things that he points out are things like technology and demographics and regulation and legislation, right? Compliance, things like that. So what are we talking about here when we talk about these types of things?
Yeah. Well, I think technology is number one, right? I mean, just responding to the technological advancements is critical. And personal, you know, experiences are the same. Business experiences, all of that is requiring you adopt the technological advancements. And some people refer it to the next industrial revolution of the world, right? Like that is a huge push for everyone. And to your point, it's only going to get faster. Which also then, if you think about that too, with all of the technology comes a plethora of data and information. Right. So the expectation of knowing more and doing more is so much higher. And in fact, you know, the impact of having all that data is actually driving more knowledge. And customers, the more knowledge our customers have about how their business is operating, or the more connectivity created through the technology, to respond to their marketplace is, I mean, it's huge. And then to that point too, that knowledge is actually a commodity in a lot of respects. It creates a competitive advantage, and it doesn't matter what part of the business that knowledge is, you know, that knowledge is obtained. The more connectivity to how their business or how our customers' world operates, the better off they are. And we've had many conversations with customers about driving the competitive advantage. It's not just always about saving money. It's about doing more and being in your marketplace stronger. All of it is creating this motion we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, with this immense opportunity from the fourth industrial revolution, which we're operating in which, you know, knowledge is a core commodity, and being able to leverage data and use that to a great effect to impact business outcomes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of opportunity in that, but there's also a lot of, you know, companies have a lot of hesitation as well. It's difficult for cross-functional teams, at least for the customers that we work with, to figure out how to effectively implement all of this new capabilities that's come out from a financial tech perspective over the last few years in an efficient way, and how to use that new technology. Things like artificial intelligence and a component of artificial intelligence, machine learning, in a really efficient way to drive positive business outcomes around things like tax compliance and compliance in general.
Yeah.
So there's immense opportunity, but there's also a great deal of, you know, potential for analysis paralysis.
Sure. I think, you know, we're all kind of dealing with that. I mean, AI is certainly huge on the hype cycle at this point, and with good reason. I mean, you know, the as we have been talking about this notion of exponential change, the one example that I keep going back to is Moore's Law, right? This decades old notion that our overall power of our computers doubles every 2 years or so. I just read something recently that said the rate at which artificial intelligence is progressing, it's doubling roughly every 105 days or so. So, I mean, when you talk about exponential change, AI is lapping things like Moore's Law, and it can be dizzying at times. And I guess I'm just kind of curious, you know, how does something like that, how does AI, machine learning, all of these new technologies that we're seeing impact things like, you know, finance and compliance?
Right. Well, I would also add to, you know, AI, machine learning, those technologies, to your point, they're doubling. The capability of that is doubling over that short period of time, which makes it almost, I mean, it is an absolute necessity that organizations start to look at that capability to help them run their business. I mean, to Jameson's point, you know, they're just, maybe it's a challenge to get in and start the adoption of the technology, but it's a necessity, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is taking over. Now, we want to probably help control how much that happens, but it's just part of business today. As it relates to, you know, compliance and finance, I mean, we all know that the standard technologies we use every single day have elements of AI and machine learning embedded in them. I mean, the next advancement of anyone's ERP or any other, you know, system of record is going to have that type of, you know, capability. Mm-hmm. So it's critical, finance and compliance especially. There's channels in which these groups, you know, they need to be looking at AI and machine learning as a asset to them. The predictive nature of AI and all of that too is extremely helpful to these groups or to those that are trying to mitigate risk in these areas. How great would it be one day when an AI, or a machine learning result is pointing to a challenge that is predicted, you know, 4 or 5 months out, or you're able to use it as a way to appropriately, you know, target the right market, or, you know, all of that is part of what finance and compliance groups across the world are dealing with every day. They're trying to figure out the best way to use this technology.
Yeah, that idea of predictive analytics is really what we're all kind of striving for, right? I mean,
right.
If we can get to the point where we can actually use this type of data and these types of technologies to look out, as you said, months down the road into the future, imagine the value that we can add for our clients and customers to be having those types of conversations and saying, look, this is where these things are going. This is where your business is heading. Mm-hmm. How can we make that transition more effective?
Well, yeah, and the other piece of this too is not just the predictive nature of you know, preventing a problem or, you know, taking a step in a different direction. You've got with finance and compliance groups across the world, there's process and there's mundane task and there's analytics involved, and there's a drain, I would consider, on the human resources in all of this. And this technology too, AI and machine learning, it produces a speedier time to value related to, you know, report activity or, mm-hmm. you know, just generate, in some cases, even the first step of looking at this as a next step for you is about, what can I use the technology to eliminate some mundane processes in my day? Or, right. you know, how do we consume it faster so we can make a decision, you know, in a more timely fashion? And finance is going to experience that forever, right? And so it's critical that the adoption starts to be part of the normal routine to just even help with the regular activities related to finance, not even predictive necessarily. And compliance too, you know, I'm going to use tax as tax compliance as a specific subject here, but mm-hmm. you know, you have the tax authorities don't think that this is just a technology advancement that business is using today for their own benefit, right? This is something that regulatory bodies are using too. Sure. So there is, I mean, that's the reality, right? And so from a compliance perspective, to be prepared for mitigation and to be responsive to the changes, you know, tax groups and tax regulatory bodies are coming at our customers every day with a new way to collect. And the technology is just as available to them as it is to our customer, right? And so, you know, we want to help ensure from a compliance perspective that all of the bases are covered as much as possible.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, we tend to look at, you know, these new technologies in a bubble, almost as if, you know, our professions are the only ones being impacted by it, and when in fact everybody, I mean, the entire world is being impacted by this. Every job on the planet, and that goes for mm-hmm. the regulators and legislators as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think the regulators have actually taken the you know, bull by the horns, in a sense, better than a lot of public and private companies have. One of my favorite websites to visit is the Financial Technology Hub for the Securities and Exchange Commission, where they highlight in real terms how they're leveraging artificial intelligence, predictive analytics to make better decisions when they're auditing companies and when they're enforcing things like FCPA compliance. So they've really become kind of turned the tables and become some of the great leaders in using this technology effectively mm-hmm. And sharing out those learnings so that companies can also take advantage of that and implement it in a more meaningful way within their organization. So it's pretty cool. I think it's a different kind of relationship with technology than we've ever seen from regulators and taxing authorities.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that almost has to be the default now, is to be up to speed with at least current technologies. So that, I mean, you know, the picture I always hear painted about regulators and legislators is how much they struggle to keep up with these fast growing and fast changing new technologies, and that they move at a much slower pace. But your example of the SEC shows that they're starting to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the big rocks that you guys are trying to help your clients break up in this kind of wild west of change and complexity these days?
Yeah. Well, especially when it comes to the activity with our solution, you know, there's the what our customers process every day is not just, you know, a standard, you know, booking or a standard expense report. Like all of that data collectively has a connection to some of these other issues. And so the rocks that we talk about, or we work really hard to help our customers achieve outcomes in solving the problems, you know, the first one that comes to mind really is around just employment or employee taxation challenges, right? One of the dominant pursuits, I would say, is figuring out from a tax perspective, is figuring out where are employees traveling and what does that mean to the benefit of the other jurisdictions they're stepping foot in, right?
Oh, that's such a huge issue.
Yeah. And well, you know, it's funny because sometimes customers are knowledgeable of this, the cross-border taxation is sometimes it's referenced, but people are familiar with it. But as the technology, to Jameson's point, is adopted by these other bodies, like it's going to become a dominant practice for them. Mm-hmm. So what's the preventative measure, right? So the rock or the outcome we strive to help our customers with all the time is being prepared for when that does come your way. Not every customer has gone through that audit, right? But, and not every state is super active, but there are states that are. And so that is, you know, a significant rock that we try to break down every day. I think that, you know, it started, that whole concept started with some pro athletes playing, you know, baseball games or football games or something in other places. And then all of a sudden it was realized, oh, wait, there's some tax money I can, you know, there's some income tax that I can get here. So
yeah, where are they actually earning their money, right? It's like,
exactly.
And you're
exactly
performing in different areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one component. And then another area, you know, around compliance, not tax necessarily, but compliance in general is, you know, we know that employee safety is top of mind for many leaders. You can cite any number of white papers out there in the world, and a focus and an expectation is that employees are cared for and that the compliance of the regulation associated to that is followed. Often referred to as duty of care. A lot of people are familiar with that term. Other parts of the globe have other versions of the same type of rule. It is a responsibility of our customers to ensure all employees are taken care of. I think a misconception too is, you know, the compliance only falls or is only targeted to the traveling community. And that's not the case. It's the responsibility of the entire you know, of the organization to support every employee. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that becomes, you know, a challenge. And as it relates to employees traveling, I mean, there is tax compliance issues built into that too. So it's a very big topic with a lot of connection points.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. What other kind of areas are, I mean, how does this translate down to things like, I mean, you mentioned tax earlier. Mm-hmm. Things like sales and use tax. Now, this has been kind of a big topic that the people have been paying attention to for the last year or so. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, sales and use tax. I mean, that subject's been around forever. I think that sales and use tax is a dominant focus for many accounts payable professionals and tax officers as well. I mean, that's how business transacts and everyone wants their fair share, right? Oftentimes, I think customers get a little confused on the difference between sales and use tax. It's often clumped together, but it's really, it's all just taxation on transactions and goods and services exchanged, right? So at the end of the day, there's still a liability to pay appropriately. Now, where we're seeing, you know, kind of an uptick in, I guess, the needs of our customers and, you know, of course, considering all the different payment channels that we support, you know, customers are always looking for better ways to efficiently work with their tax group, whether they're paying for goods and services through purchasing card activity or through invoicing or even just on your standard corporate card. Like, all of that is still part of the big sales and use tax game. And those transactions still are required, and that spend is still required to adhere to the sales and use tax regulations.
You know, I think the companies that we talk to, this is on their radar, but like we talked about, cross-functional teams figuring out how to work together to get their arms around these massive issues, they're starting to realize that it's not enough for things like sales and use tax and compliance with legislation like the Wayfair Act to just be on their radar. They're looking for tangible ways to comply with these laws and to do it now and to make sure that they're set up in an efficient way to prepare them for future legislation as well. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that, you know, laws like the Wayfair Act introduced. And I don't think that for the most part organizations were prepared for that, those main pillars, those main challenges, things like complexity, ambiguity, you know, potentially shifting regulations that change from state to state or even city to city. And so one thing that we're working on getting better at as a partner and also pulling in other partners through our ecosystem, our partner ecosystem of great connected APIs and you know, data transfer potential is helping customers figure out exactly what's possible, what they need to do to comply with these legislations, and what's possible within the data and the framework that they probably already have in place today. Right. So for the past few months, I've been consulting customers and doing a deep dive into their data to take a look at, this is just an example of sales and use tax compliance and just how complex it can be. Take a look at their data and we can see how many expense reports or invoices or P-card transactions have been submitted by employees and where that employee lives. And then the very next thing that we look at is, that's a breakdown of spend by country, employee country. And then the very next thing we look at is a breakdown of spend by vendor country. So you might have a company that only has employees living in the U.S., but they're traveling abroad. They're definitely spending money with vendors, procuring goods and services abroad, either through the internet or when they're traveling. And so they might be a U.S.-only company, and they're spending money and currency in 50 different countries around the world, and they have 50 different sales and use tax regulations to comply with, Nexus, so many various things and complexities that have been introduced just in the last few years from these taxing regulatory groups.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, just I think in some of our research, right, like we know even in the U.S. alone, so taking just U.S. activity, the complexity just multiplies. So I'll just give some quick stats, right? 150 million plus mailing addresses for goods and services to be delivered or consumed, 12,000 plus tax jurisdictions to be considered, 35,000 sales and use tax rates, 30 million plus product or service exemptions to said regulations, and then, or I'm sorry, product service exemptions, yes, and then 750,000 buyer or seller exemptions exist too. So that is just a U.S. you know, based metric family, but it gives you a sense of some of the complexity. And to Jameson's point, you know, there are partners. So everything processed, or your employees are buying goods or services, you know, there's an obligation of the corporation to adhere. And that data is there. It's available to you. And the ecosystem of partners we have, namely, Avalara is one of them that has a firm handle on how this can be mitigated. The risk associated here can be mitigated. And that's all technology. That's all consumption of the data and the knowledge that comes from that. So it can get, you know, it can get big fast. I think, you know, it's important for us to show up. Our customers, we're showing up every day trying to help them solve this problem.
Yeah, it's crazy how messy and complex this whole regulatory environment has become, thanks to some of these issues that we're dealing with. And I think it's easy, just, you know, hearing all this stuff, to think of regulation, legislation, anything that we have to comply with as being, you know, a problem or a burden to overcome. Is there another way of looking at this type of stuff, to turn it around and say, okay, well, what are the opportunities that some of these new regulations offer us?
Well, that's a good way to look at it. It's a good question. You're right. There could be a better way of looking at this. It sounds so dreary. It sounds so complicated. But there are wins for the business when there are processes that are implemented that create the simplicity they're looking for, right? So mm-hmm. I think, you know, we do think of compliance as that challenge and that big issue or that cloud hanging over our head. Mm-hmm. But, you know, compliance is actually, when a customer remains compliant, there's so many downstream impacts of that are on the positive side, right? It's streamlining, it's cost savings, it's cost avoidance. One of the areas that we've seen great success with our customers moving, you know, from a compliance perspective and taking it the bull by the horns, I would say, mm-hmm. is around VAT, value-added tax, globally, right? So VAT itself, while it may seem very complex and challenging, when our customers really target it and adopt a best practice around the reclaimability of that, it becomes a financial win for the customer. It's reclaimed dollars or euros or wherever that really do come back to the business because they followed the regulation, right? It's not that you just always have to pay in and not get anything back. Like, that is a whole process that our customers can benefit from. And we have partners too to the ecosystem that help contribute to the success of that reclaim. That's a win. That's a positive, right? What are our triggers here?
Yeah, I want to add that and GST is a fantastic example where if you don't comply with those regulations, and if you aren't capturing the right VAT receipts and documentation, and aren't collecting all of the location information that you need to comply with VAT requirements, you could be fined. And those fines can be significant, and you can be out of compliance for years. But if you go to the effort to making sure that you're set up as an organization and have the policies in place to comply with those rules, the benefit to you from a VAT recovery, GST recovery standpoint can be so, so immense that it more than covers any investment cost to comply with those rules and regulations. So you're avoiding fines and adding money back into your travel and expense program, your invoice program, wherever it is you're collecting that.
That's fantastic. Do you guys have any examples of clients that you're working with who have been, you know, particularly successful at dealing with some of these issues or have approached them in kind of an innovative kind of way? Who's doing it right?
Yeah, a couple of great customer success stories that I can think of. So I recently was working with a financial services company, an insurance company based in California, and they have been taking advantage of the functionality that we had and have had for the last few years around mileage reimbursement, where employees would have to go in and input their Google Maps waypoints, and the calculator would spit out a total number of miles for that particular trip. Well, as you know, functionality within smartphones has evolved so much over the last few years that Google Maps waypoint entry is no longer the most effective or efficient way to gather that route detail from a mileage standpoint. So this is one of the areas where Concur has invested a significant amount of time and effort. It was probably the first addressable space we saw in introducing innovative fintech into our applications and working with partners to do that. And now this company is taking advantage of GPS tracking for their route entry instead of simply allowing the employee to manually enter in those waypoints. They're getting accurate detail into that spend. And what that's allowed them to do is, one, increase the accuracy and decrease the amount that they're reimbursing their employees by eliminating things like padding, unintentional, padding, but often intentional padding as well. Relieve unnecessary tax burden on that spend because they're decreasing the spend in general. They're paying less tax. And just generally becoming more efficient and effective in the way that they manage their mileage program. They've even started to explore the potential to eliminate things like car allowance and fleet programs, which are so burdensome to maintain and have so much more overhead than simply allowing employees to drive their personal car mileage. This company has implemented our mileage tracking solution in January of this year, and they chose not to mandate it just because they didn't want to have too much of an impact on the employee experience right from the get-go. They wanted to roll it out slowly. Even without mandating the program, they've seen an 82% adoption of GPS tracking for route entry because it's so much quicker and easier for the employee. And they've shaved off over $500,000 in mileage reimbursements.
Wow.
Compared to the same period year over year.
Yeah, that's amazing. How about you, Marshall? Any stories stick out in your mind about clients who are getting the stuff right?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many customers we've worked with over the years, but one I am going to mention because it has been, they are very active in the space around VAT reclaim. I just talked about it a minute ago. The company is Electrolux, and their testimonial is out in the internet space that they have such a great story. So initially, I think it was, I want to say probably around 2014, I think in that time frame when we started to really partner with the VAT reclaim world, that they took the opportunity. They were at one of our Fusion events, and they took the opportunity to sit down and work with TaxBack International. And TaxBack just said, "Hey, let's do a quick run of your data. We'll do a quick evaluation and give you a sense of what your potential is in real VAT reclaim opportunity." And I think at the time they had, maybe their existing process, I recall it, giving back to them about 30,000 euro on an annual basis. I mean, this is a massive program, right? They have 50 plus thousand employees globally. I think upwards of 10,000 that are active travelers. I mean, it's massive. And so, but to have 30,000 euro be all that was coming back was just, to them, they knew that was unacceptable. And so they partnered with TaxBack. And over time, I mean, they've seen that number increase exponentially. So I think at this point, because they are proactive in ensuring that their employee base is educated in the process, that they have the appropriate documentation, to Jameson's point earlier, to prevent the fines. But at the end of the day, they are in the realm of, I think it's somewhat close to $400,000 or euro annually coming back from a very effective reclaim process. And that TaxBack, as a partner, assists with all of that, all of the process and the filings and all of that across the countries. But essentially, Electrolux is seeing significant and continuous benefit from them taking that bull by the horns and really addressing that specific tax challenge. So excited to see, their continued progress. There's a variety of stories very similar to what Jameson just described, as well as what I just talked about. But there's opportunity for all of our customers to take the next steps in the areas of focus we talked about today.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, that's a fantastic example of the power and the benefit of staying on top of these compliance and regulatory issues. I mean, a lot of people might look at this stuff as being kind of really dry or boring or whatever you have, but I mean, there's real impact on the bottom line if you can take advantage of the opportunities that are embedded in some of this stuff. So, I mean, those are fantastic examples.
Yeah. When it all starts with the data and, you know, the technology enables the data collection, which then enables all of the improvements we talked about today, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's something that we have to remember is for customers today, there's a ton of information there to already start taking steps towards these improvement areas. This is not an issue that's going to go away or these challenges we just highlighted or only a handful of some of them out there. And, you know, every single day we're trying to figure out more rocks that need to be, you know, broken up or barriers that need to be removed to ensure process and efficiency is, you know, best in class.
Absolutely. Oh, wow. Good stuff. Marshall Jameson, this has been a fascinating conversation and one that I'm sure that will continue for the foreseeable future. And as you said, this stuff isn't going away anytime soon. So
that's right.
Thanks so much for being here and for your insights. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
That was Marshall Klippenstein and Jameson Hughes. Marshall is the director of the SAP Concur Value Consulting Organization, and Jameson is a value consultant at SAP Concur, helping organizations improve their financial outcomes through data analytics and deep dive management consulting. And that invitation-only event that SAP Concur is planning for December, well, it's called the Financial Compliance and Cloud Technology Forum. It will be held on December 12th in New York, and I've been invited to come and report on it. Very excited about that. Maybe write a blog post or two or even come away with another interview for the podcast, perhaps. Perhaps. So stay tuned. You'll definitely be hearing more on these issues as time marches on. And don't forget, this week's sponsor, is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. We're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPAs. Start mastering those future-ready skills now, and I mean now, by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. And that's all I got, folks. Have a great week.